This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, happy Friday. Those of you that wait for this program to end before starting your weekend, you are 1 hour away from beginning your weekend. Hopefully you're doing something fun this weekend. I'll tell you, my weekend is off to a great start because whenever I can end the week with one of my favorite people, one of my favorite satirists, media producers, comedians, commentators, and COVID survivors, then that is a good week for me. And I am very pleased that the one and only Marlena Shivo has returned to the studio. Hello, Marlena.
Hello, Frank. It is very good to be here and to see you and not your cloned sex robot version of you. I'm very, very happy about that.
Trust me, nobody would be cloning me, especially not Rachel. But so we were talking about that earlier. If people don't know what Marlene is talking about, there's this company that is now selling very realistic clones of people that are ostensibly designed to be used as sex dolls. What was your take on that story?
Well, I honestly, I'm against pretty much all AI. Like, I don't even like Siri, but
yeah,
it's like I don't need the yellow pages to talk to me. But I do wonder about a different angle of this, though. Like, say you covet your neighbor's spouse, right?
Well, it's a clear violation of the Ten Commandments.
Clearly. But then that spouse dies. Do you, the neighbor, get the access to the cloned robot version, or is there a copyright infringement issue?
I was, in all seriousness, I was wondering the same thing when people were bringing up the idea of cloning
a celebrity. Yeah.
But, you know, cloning an anonymous neighbor or something, I mean, forget about it. That would be
just what? Because someone isn't famous doesn't mean they are anonymous.
Right. That's true. That's true. That's right. Heaven knows there are a whole bunch of New Jersey communities that would see all these Marlena robot cyborgs all over the place. All right. I want to get your take on a bunch of things, and we're going to have some fun with some open letters a little bit later. But you've been very vocal over the course of the last year about some of the excesses of what the lockdowns and some of the conflicting messages that we've heard from the so-called experts on the subject of COVID. Now, you've survived COVID. You're doing well, right? You're doing well?
I'm doing well. I was doing well during COVID, actually.
Did your taste buds come back?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm mostly, I should say. I would say they're 80% back.
Then I do recommend the pizza that we have in the kitchen. It's quite good. Right? Look at Matt. He's not.
It's fantastic. You won't regret it.
I don't tend to keep my girlish figure by eating pizza at 4 a.m.
I've heard about your workout regimen, and I somehow think that slice of pizza is not going to make or break you. Now, tell me where you perceive us to be and versus where the experts perceive us to be in terms of the road to herd immunity.
Okay. So
which is not a Bing Crosby, Bob Hope movie. That is something we're striving for.
Well, you know, okay, so I have to rely on what I read, basically, because I am not a doctor. Nor am I any kind of medical expert. And, you know, I when I read 70 to 85% of the people have to be vaccinated was what I read. I thought the gap of, 15% was a little odd. Like, where did they come up with that number? And Fauci being on the high end of being 85% of us have to be vaccinated in order to achieve this herd immunity. I questioned it, as I question everything with this, because everything keeps changing. All these people are getting vaccinated and nothing's really changing for them. Mm-hmm. I went to Florida for spring break with my family. You have to wear a mask in the airport, on the airplane, and blah, blah, blah. And the flight attendant gets on the overhead and says, even if you're vaccinated, keep your mask on.
Which I don't get at all. I did a whole thing on that this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's crazy.
It is crazy. So what is the incentive? And I actually sent you a clip from CNN, Chris Cuomo. I don't know if you saw that about a week ago.
Yes, I did see that.
Oh, you
yes.
did see that. Okay. And so, and she blatantly says, like, we need to what are we going to use to incentivize people to get this vaccine? And it's like, yeah, what are you going to use? Because if their freedoms and if your liberties do not change by getting this vaccine, what is the point of getting the vaccine, unless you just want the vaccine? But
So Juliette Huddy, who I co-host the 77 WABC Early News with, she got the first dose of the vaccine. It knocked her for quite a loop. She had quite a reaction. She had to take off from work the next day because she was feeling so ill. I had to take another day off a couple of days later because of it. Now, so what are we telling people essentially is go rush out and get the vaccine so you can get sick and then you still have to wear your mask, ultimately.
Well, there's that. Okay. But also, let's get back to the 85% and, you know, and Dr. Fauci. He's vaccinated. He's still, you know, he has said recently there are activities that he won't do. He won't go in crowded places where people are maskless. The same man who said wearing a mask was ineffective at the beginning of all of this. But also, 85% of the population getting vaccinated actually isn't realistic. Do you know that 22% of the population is under the age of 18? Mm. And I mean, they did say they started to mention they might open it up to people 12 and older at some point. But at this point, 85% would be completely
literally
impossible. It's like they want it to be impossible. But what I don't understand, Frank, and maybe I'm not meant to understand it, is why? Why do they want to keep kicking the can down the road and moving the goalpost? And CNN is the voice of all of this, which...
And by the way, you're a member of the John Birch Society and the Conservative Party, right? You're very far to the right, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. That's me.
No, the only reason I want to make that clear that you're not is because all of these issues seem to have become so politicized.
I know.
And it has become that if you ask questions of the COVID experts, all of a sudden you're a right winger, you're a Trump supporter. If you think maybe you shouldn't wear a mask after you've been vaccinated and you're in a room with four people that have just survived the disease, all of a sudden you're the leading nominee for the Republicans in 2024. You are not any of those things, right?
No. And, you know, I voted for Joe Biden.
Nobody's perfect.
Least of all you. Anyway, not only would you be considered a conservative and a Trumper and all these things, you'd be considered a conspiracy theorist.
Right. Right.
You know, and I don't even think this should be a right or left issue. To me, this is just freedom of, you know, independent thinking and being able to question what we're being told. I mean, I don't question authority. Is that a problem these days all of a sudden? How is that a right or left issue? Isn't it just a common sense issue?
You'd think so. By the way, if people have questions for Marlena or comments, they can give us a call at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. So we're told it's going to be 70 to 85% of the population before we can check that box of herd immunity. And then once we get herd immunity, everything's fine, right?
Good question, because I can't answer it, because Governor Murphy in New Jersey is already talking about reopening of schools as long as people are wearing in September, by the way, not now, in September, as long as people are keeping their social distance and wearing masks. I'm like, in September, my kids are wearing masks in September. I mean, this has gone on long enough. I mean, it's overdue at this point. And that woman on CNN, the doctor that talked about, you know, incentivizing and what carrot are we going to dangle in front of the public in order to get them to get this vaccine, basically said, sorry, I got distracted for a second, basically, you know, said everything we needed to hear, which is people are going to enjoy their freedoms regardless of the vaccine. But then she's also wrong, because what are those freedoms? I mean, we still have to go into a restaurant with a mask and then take it off when we sit down,
right?
Even though our kids have to be in a mask all day and can never take off their mask at their desk.
How old is your daughter, your oldest daughter?
My oldest daughter is 7.
And she has to wear the mask in school all day?
All day. They originally said she had to go in with it, and then when they got to their desk, they could take it off. And then they changed that the 11th hour and never reopened the idea of that. But yet, I can go anywhere maskless. After I walk in and get seated at a table or wherever, I could be maskless. So why can't she?
So herd immunity. there are some reports that because of all these variants and everything, even once quote-unquote herd immunity is achieved, whether it's 70% of people being vaccinated, 85%, whatever the case may be, there are some people saying that because of these variants, even herd immunity is not good enough.
Oh, right. Herd immunity is ever-changing. Like, even if you achieve it, it'll undo itself. And they're just coming up with everything in order to keep this going. But why do you think that is, Frank?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing. Who's benefiting from continuing to have this pseudo paralysis in this country?
Right. Who's benefiting? And, you know, and Fauci keeps talking about, you know, these variants being the main strand that's in the U.S. right now that originated in the U.K., and much more deadly, by the way, much more deadly. He said, you know, like, there's going to be another surge. There's a possibility of another surge. And but no one's talking about deaths. Now everybody's talking about vaccines. You know, before it was all, they always talk about, oh, a spike in coronavirus cases, but they're not talking about a spike in deaths. So what are we closing down, you know, partially locking down, masking up for exactly?
Well, you got me. That's what I find so peculiar and so perplexing. So if you look at CNN, we used to see the death counter.
Yeah.
Now it's the vaccine counter.
Yeah. And I'm actually counting myself at this point because I have this 85% stuck in my head, although I'm sort of like leaning on the 70% at this point because, I mean, is Dr. Fauci the end-all be-all in herd immunity? And we are now, what, sitting at 33%? No, sorry. 19, almost 20% is fully vaccinated. And then I guess 33% has at least one shot, which they said is like 80% effective on its own for the, you know, the one, the Moderna and Pfizer that you need two shots for. I don't know.
Neither
I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't know if that's clear, but
no,
I'm not even getting
the
vaccine.
I didn't have you as an undecided, believe me. 800-848-9222 if you want to weigh in on any portion of our discussion. Marlena Shivo, my guest for the hour. You can follow her on all forms of social media at Marlena Shivo. That's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A Shivo, like Terry Shivo. There's a lot of great content on there. Now, we'll get back to the COVID issue in a moment, but the other issue that seems to be capturing the imagination of so many in the public is the Khloe Kardashian issue. Evidently, there was a leaked photo of her, and everyone is talking about it. I have not yet been able to bring myself to care enough to click on any of these articles, but why are people so worked up over this?
Oh, body image. That is like always the hot topic. I love how we go from everybody's talking about a vaccine to everybody's talking about Khloe Kardashian's leaked photo that wasn't retouched. And, you know, the PR team for the Kardashians was in such a rush to scrub this from the internet. But honestly, it's never going to work. How do you scrub something like that?
Emma Anderson's still working.
And so, you know, the problem is this. It was Khloe Kardashian's reaction. It was the team's reaction. If she said, oops, like, don't, you know, that photo wasn't supposed to get out, and they just sort of like moved on from it, like deleted it or whatever, and never made it a thing, I don't know, it wouldn't have become this like 2 day long trending topic.
So a photo, there was a photo of her
that wasn't retouched.
So she looks more like a normal woman instead of this, you know, supermodel out of, you know, a 17-year-old boy's fantasy.
Well, I just disagree with normal and supermodel when it comes to the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. And not because I mean, they're attractive, they're fine, they're everything. But, like, they have this very, like, Betty Boop misshapen thing going on that's, like, very different than the average person.
It sends a message to women and men that in order to be considered attractive, you have to have a 4-inch waist, a massive bust, and a large rear end.
But really, the last part of what you said is the thing, and it's so disproportionate to their body that it looks odd even when retouched. But that's my personal opinion. In general, she was fine. I mean, there was nothing really. I don't know what the problem was. Like, she didn't have makeup on. She was in a bikini. She wasn't in the perfect position that she wanted to be in. She was in bad lighting, and these were all her complaints in her very long-winded statement about having you know, a lifetime of body issues and image issues and because of her sisters.
Well, they say this is an indication that society puts on women a whole lot of pressure to look perfect. Is that true from your view?
I mean, obviously they have more pressure than men. I mean, you will see far, in my opinion, I think I've observed more women who are in shape that will be with a man who is not.
Thank goodness.
In shape.
Yes, thank goodness.
And then on the reverse, people always find it odd if they do see the reverse. If they you see like a man who's, you know, in
right,
shape.
Right. There was a whole Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about that. That means you have integrity. But Bethany Mandel in the New York Post today, she's got a column in which she, the headline is Khloe Kardashian photo shows how they're peddling. How they're peddling an unhealthy lie to women. Does this show that they are peddling an unhealthy lie, in your view?
I don't know.
No,
I
too
mean,
much, too much.
I mean, to women, I don't know. I feel like they are of the next generation. You know, I'm beyond the Kardashians. I don't keep up with them.
You don't.
Any longer.
It's a very popular show.
Well, you know, when I was doing more entertainment news, I had to keep up with them. And it wasn't a hardship by any stretch, but it, you know, it. It wears on you after a while.
800-848-WABC if you want to weigh in on Khloe Kardashian. Marlena Shivo is my guest for the hour. Before we close the book on Kardashianism, Kim Kardashian, now a billionaire officially certified as such by Forbes, as is her ex-husband, former independent presidential candidate Kanye West. What's your reaction to billionaire
Kim Kardashian? Well, first of all, I'm so relieved she finally reached billionaire status. Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat. Like, she was already 40 and not a billionaire, and her younger sister had already bypassed her, but that was retracted in the end, right? So what I find astonishing about this is that they rolled this story out right after all the Khloe Kardashian.
Right.
It's like they wanted to distract you from the first Kardashian story, number one. Number two, I'm always so fascinated by people who reach like millionaires. Like, they're like, oh, you know, Kim Kardashian West is in the billionaire club, right? But people say that about the millionaires club, right? But like, do you think there's a distinction between someone who has $1 billion versus like $3 billion? And like, say you reach $1 billion, even $1 billion.
Oh, I'd love to be in that.
Even 1 million for that matter. But in that, like, you're just 1 billion. But then you, like, renovate something or buy a new car, and now, like, you drop under. Do they, like, are you on probation? do you get kicked out of the club temporarily? What happens?
Well, Donald Trump took a big hit, apparently, in his ratings this year.
We're still talking about
much
him,
much poorer.
Huh?
Apparently, well, Forbes is. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I think billionaires think it's that big. It's a big deal.
Well,
I think if you're like barely in the billionaire club versus somebody that's got $5 billion, I think there very much is a hierarchy.
There has to be an elitist like situation going on there, right? Like, I thought that with the millionaires, forget the billionaires because they're so rare, but the millionaires, like if you have $1 million, someone will say you're a millionaire, but then someone with $50 million will be like, well, right. I'm a millionaire,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I see this all the time, actually, with millionaires. People love to brag. I mean, they'll say, oh, that guy doesn't have that much money. I could buy him, sell him 10 over. Well, who cares? I still is doing a lot better than I'm doing.
How is Arthur doing, by the way?
what would you do if you were ever in that billionaire club?
You know, even though I did come up with this concept of what would I do, and, you know, I was trying to tell you about it a little bit, I was having a hard time really coming up with stuff. It's like, wow, I must just not really want too many things. I mean, aside from a really, like, you know, a 10,000 square foot apartment in the city, which is, by the way, like, if you get online and really research that, it will only run you about 39 to 45 million.
Okay. Well, so you got 40 million
okay.
gone, right?
That's gone.
So you got to pay a bunch in taxes. Let's assume that's gone.
Right.
So you have a $920 million left to play with. What are you playing with? What are you doing?
Honestly, the one luxury that I would just love is to have a massage therapist at my beck and call. I mean, beck and call. Like, when I get up for the gym in the morning, I want to be stretched, and I want all of my, because I have so many, like, issues, you know, that, like, I need to be stretched and massaged on a daily basis.
It's so funny that you say that because Juliette Huddy, who's here, maybe we'll chat with her later, she said the same thing. She said she would get a massage to start the day, one to end the
day,
which I never even would think of
right
that,
here.
That's funny.
I have it. It's massage therapy in that's the morning hilarious. And one before I go to
all
bed.
All right, so we have an expensive property in Manhattan. We have round-the-clock massage therapy. Anything else that beyond – you know, a lot of the stuff that people do, give money to charity, help out your friends and family.
Well, yeah,
beyond
barring
that
all that.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
stuff,
that
everyone knows
goes
that.
Without saying.
That's, you know, the initial tax write-off. But yeah, so I would hire Cher to perform at my birthday party.
That's interesting. See, that's creative.
Yeah. And then the next year I'd hire Bette Midler.
That's cool.
Or maybe I'd do it in reverse depending on how, you know, their health situation.
A lot of thought into this one. I could tell
you. There's not much thought. It's something I think about all the time. But and then as far as and maybe I might have to bribe Bill Maher with some money to be my friend. Although he has a ton of money, he might not care, but he might just want to be my friend.
I think he would be your friend, actually. He's performing in Atlantic City soon. I thought of you when I saw him advertise at the Borgata. Maybe if you come, we'll go and we'll hang out. That's my one way of getting you there, is for Bill Maher to perform. All right, a bunch of folks eager to chat with you. 1-800-848-WABC. We're going to do some open letters in just a minute, but first let me say hello to, we'll say hello to Joe in Queens. Hello, Joe.
Yeah. Before I get to my question, this guy Bosch, who had been, the president of Gabi, said don't get vaccinated if you've had COVID. It could kill you, basically. You could look up his publication.
He was the president of what?
He had been the head of the whole vaccine thing. And Mr. Vaccine says do not get vaccinated if you've had the COVID.
Right. I want to double check that, but I didn't see that. But I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it was Bosch, I think, his last name. And then his first name is Foreign. But, you know, be careful if this guy's saying it because he's like a on the vaccine, you know, committees, like the top guy. He said it can have the reverse effect and kill you. But I want to ask her.
You could call her Marlena. We don't have to reduce her to simply a pronoun.
Yeah. Well, I just want to ask about working out. Like, how much time do you think about working out? Like, as opposed to people that don't. Like, how much time do you, as like kind of a workout person,
do I think about it, or how much do I work out?
Well, how much do you think about it? Compared to people that are couch potatoes that are your friends.
Well, I'm a little bit of a couch potato. I'm thinking about working out all the time. I got to say.
I think couch potatoes think about working out more than 100%. People who actually work out, because the people who work out just do it and stop thinking about it because it's done. Yeah. And I get up first thing in the morning. I get up 4:15 every day, sometimes earlier, and I am working out by 5 a.m. every day. And then that's it. I don't think about it for the rest of my day because it's done and off my list.
800-848-WABC. Sue is here in New York City. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Marlena. Hi, Frank. Thanks for your show.
Thank you.
Marlena, could you please give me your reasons for not taking the vaccine? I also am not taking the vaccine, but a lot of people are giving me telling me I'm wrong. So can I just have an idea about how you feel about that?
I felt like it was so rushed, and I'm not even someone who, not that I'm an anti-vaxxer, because my kids are vaccinated other than the flu vaccine. I find the flu vaccine to be an odd vaccine to take, so I don't do it. I don't give my kids the flu vaccine because it changes, and I feel like this changes. You know, now they're, you know, people are getting the vaccine. They're talking about variants. It's like, you know, once you've nailed it down to something, maybe I'll consider it. But until that day comes, I'm not doing it. And plus, I already had COVID. You know, I thought this way before I had COVID, but I already had it. So, and I was okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Have a good weekend. 800-848-9222. Bobby in the Bronx. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
You tell me, Bobby.
All right, well, I'm a driver. I've been out here from day one, driving different people, sick people, doctors, nurses, everybody. And I don't see any dead bodies. The only place I've seen dead bodies is in a hospital. Why is that? You know, I believe in the beginning they were doing what's called tubing, hooking people up to respirators. But I never, ever heard on the news there was a dead body at the bus stop. I don't see any dead animals. Where are the deaths?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people that have died from this, Bobby. Usually if you're sick enough to go to the hospital, that's where you end up dying.
Sure, but out here, there's no death. There's never, there used to be something called a coroner. They used to come to draw chalk around bodies. Now there's no coroner coming to your house saying, don't go to that area that's contaminated. It just doesn't make sense to me. And as far as the vaccine is concerned, how do you put the same dosage in a female as a male, a child? Like, you know, how do you, why aren't they measuring it? They're just sticking it in people. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. Doesn't matter the temperature. They're just putting it in different people. Why would you do that? You
know? Well, I mean, I feel like, don't they do that anyway? I mean, I feel like the dosage of vaccines is always the same per person. I don't really know if they don't vary the amount per like age or weight. I think that's just a standard. Although, I mean, you would need a medical expert for that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll save that question for the next epidemiologist that we have on the show. And we do have them on from time to time. But I feel pretty good about the vaccines, keeping in mind what you said, Marlena, about them potentially being rushed because of the trials that a lot of people did go through. And we'll see. I guess the joke will be on me if I grow a fifth limb or something. But as we discuss COVID, it's very important that if you're somebody that's forced to wear a mask all day long, or somebody that wants to wear a mask all day long, that you mitigate whatever factors that wearing a mask all day long involves. So a lot of people forced to wear a mask 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, they get headaches. A lot of people even complain about nausea. A lot of folks say they suffer from anxiety. Everybody that's wearing a mask all day long deals with reduced oxygen levels. And really, a lot of folks find it just exhausting wearing a mask all day long. So if you don't like that, if that's not for you, then EasyFlow USA is here to help. The EasyFlow personal air filtration system, you can go to EasyFlowUSA.com. That's EasyFlowUSA.com. And what this does is, it's really neat. I tried this, and it makes wearing a mask not at all like wearing a mask. It pushes fresh filtered air directly into your mask and allows you to breathe normally. It also protects you from all sorts of other contaminated air entering from gaps. So EasyFlow is recommended by medical professionals. It's tested in an FDA-approved lab to filter 99.7% of virus and bacteria, including COVID. And it makes your mask more effective, makes it drier, makes it more comfortable. So if you want to try this, you can go to the website EasyFlowUSA.com. That's EasyFlowUSA.com. And you can enter the promo code Frank. If you do that, you'll save 15% off your purchase. Go to EasyFlowUSA, and you can enjoy some fresh air everywhere.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno, joined in studio for the hour by Marlena Shivo, as we share what we would do if we were a billionaire. And very, very pleased to welcome my partner in the 77 WABC Early News, Juliette Huddy.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I was really into the conversation, and then I had to get out of the car. But it was very interesting.
You're all dressed up for picture day, I see.
I am, yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, yes. I love taking pictures.
To get rid of
my fake hair.
Please.
Yeah, my extensions are falling out. Oh, God.
So, Juliette, what would you do if you were a billionaire? We're not talking having $100 million, $200 million, $300 million. You've given money to all your charities, your brother, your mom, whomever else, friends, family. Beyond the charity, beyond the taxes, you've got $1 billion. What are you spending it on?
The first thing I probably do is take whoever wants to go on a world cruise. They can go to whatever on a private yacht. That's the first thing I would do. And then the second thing I would do is buy a house in Venice. Not a house. I would buy a palazzo in Venice.
So what is that? $2 million? A luxury palazzo?
Yeah, a million. And I mean, I'd be okay with $1 million palazzo.
Right. You can slum it once in a while.
I don't want to be too greedy. But it depends. How many billions are we talking?
We're talking solid one, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You're on a budget.
I'll stay with 1.5 million. Right. Yeah.
fair enough.
Yeah, you can get a good deal there.
All right. Well, Marlena, I was eager to chat with you about open letters and get Juliet to weigh in as well. Now, open letters are a big thing now. You see open letters to Major League Baseball. You see open letters to politicians. You see open letters to media outlets, normally calling for some sort of action or something. But we have seen...
Sort of. Because I saw an open letter to estrogen today, so I don't know.
No, you didn't.
Really? I promise you I did.
Well, how do you have an open letter to somebody that can't really respond?
Because the internet and people have a lot to say.
That's fair enough.
That's true.
Give us some open letter examples of recipients that aren't necessarily able to respond.
Okay. So I came across another one that it caught my eye, which was an open letter to God. And it was asking why he gave this individual a hairy butt. So, dear God, why did you make my butt so hairy?
Okay.
So, most people, when they talk to God, they want to know the meaning of life. This guy,
why did she have to die?
Right. Some people just want to know when the McRib is coming back. Whatever. I don't know. But this guy wants to know about his butt. But my big thing about open letters is that no one ever answers, right? So I'm just like,
right, they don't.
So,
right.
So I took the liberty of answering as if I were God.
Oh, my.
Okay, so here we go. The man's name was Dan. Dan the man with a hairy butt. Dear Dan, hairy butts are funny, and I have an all-powerful sense of humor. But hey, now you know the origin of the commonly used phrase, butt of the joke.
Ah!
Oh, and FYI, you didn't have to pen a letter for all of humanity to see. I can read minds. Yeah. Your deity. God.
Now, the initial open letter,
Beautiful.
That is very
compelling. Yeah.
If God ever decides
Short
to change
sweet.
Professions, you should throw your hat in the ring. But the initial open letter was, I don't think, a serious expositional attempt at, the hair situation. I mean, it was a joke, right?
I'm sure it was a joke. Right. So my response was also a joke.
Got it. Okay.
So there we go. I returned a joke with a joke.
Do you have another example you can share with us?
I do. Okay. there's lots out there. I mean, it's so hard to choose. But there was another sort of a kid who was talking to his mom's potential suitors, right? Dates that his mom might go on. These men don't exist yet, by the way. And he wanted to warn them that, he's there to stay. Be careful. I'm here to stay.
How old is this kid?
He didn't say.
Okay.
But, I don't know. Old enough to write an open letter.
Got it. Let's figure 10. That's a good open letter.
Yeah. And my thing is, hey, the first guy that goes on a date with your mom is going to be hyper aware that she has an adolescent son.
Sure.
And some might even refer to this awareness as a deciding factor. But, from these, apparitions that he's speaking to, I decided to... Oh, I'm sorry. He also went on to inform all these men that his mom is beautiful, even though she has gray hairs and wrinkles and complains that her thighs are fat.
Where did you find this open letter?
On the Huffington Post.
Oh, naturally. Okay. Makes sense.
And he also went on to say that the man who comes... Any man that comes along is not going to replace his father.
Oh.
Okay.
That's very nice. It's very... sitcomish.
His father that he never sees, but yeah. Whatever.
Oh, God.
Okay. So here's the response.
Oh, boy.
Dear Oedipus, I think I speak for all your mom's prospective dates when I say thank you for letting us know in advance that your mom has gray hair, complains about her thighs, and has wrinkles. I'm sure she appreciates you advertising those details as well. Mm-hmm. And don't worry, none of us want to take the place of your father. The reality is most of us already have kids from a previous marriage, and you sound like a handful. You and your absentee dad have nothing to fear. You're his boy, and we're all someone else's dad. Sincerely, the dude's now avoiding your mom.
Oh,
you've got that dark sense of humor.
Yeah, I love
Marlena.
It.
It's
my
very
kind
cutting.
Of girl.
Oh, totally. You don't even know. That, I mean, in fact, we have these new WABC pens. I think you have absolutely earned one with that.
Wow,
writing.
How nice.
Yes,
wow.
I mean, this is pretty cool, isn't this?
They're heavy.
Careful.
They're wielded.
Yeah, they are cool. Give us one more, Marlena, before we ask Juliet to weigh in on the this open letter discussion and the vaccine discussion while we're at it.
Okay.
Since this big day for her tomorrow.
So there was another woman who was welcoming her ex-husband's new girlfriend to the family. Spoke, yeah, ex-husband's new girlfriend. She's remarried, but and now he's got a girlfriend. And in the course of this letter, it almost sounded like she was trying to reconcile the fact that he actually found someone. Mm. And then, you know, she starts thanking this woman for, you know, being a part of their life, and she's ready to, you know, be one big family. So, mind you, it's not a new wife, it's a girlfriend. So if I were this woman, I would run. I would absolutely run. It sounds a little creepy. She wanted to sound like, you know, mature and brave, yeah, but it came off creepy. So this is my response.
Oh, boy.
Well, this would be her response, my suggested response. Dear ex-wife of my soon-to-be ex-boyfriend, if this was your attempt at reverse psychology, it worked. I do not think you are looking forward to adding me to your already complicated family dynamic. However, if you did actually mean what you said, that is even worse. I have no interest in being part of some sister-wife man-sharing compound. I know you are remarried, but it sounds like you are harboring some unresolved feelings for your ex. While you work that out, I'll be updating my Tinder profile. Sincerely, your ex's next ex.
Is there any better way to start a Friday? The great Marlena Shiva. You could find more of Marlena's open letter stylings on all forms of social media. And did they shut down your website for copyright infringement yet? Or, I know this is a sore subject.
That.
No, she's in a battle. Over using an AP photo from 10 years ago.
Oh, God.
It was 2013. I had some goofy blog, non-monetized, just my own personal blog.
Right.
And it had a picture of Donald Trump and Bill Maher side by side. That was 2013. In 2020, I'm getting a letter saying that that Donald Trump photo, I had no right to. And I'm like, well, okay, but where was this information, like, how many years ago? I didn't respond. They sent a letter to my three apartments ago in Manhattan. I'm now in New Jersey. And they just kept emailing me and told me I owed the AP $975 or something.
Oh, my God, because I'm constantly posting pictures of all the places that I talk about on my Jet Set. Julia, I mean, I take them from people's websites.
Be careful confessing to here, Julia.
I mean, a friend of mine does this all the time, like every day, 10 times a day.
Right.
Oh, we need to talk about it.
But it was like, and now I'm getting, now they've moved it to, like, you know, they're lawyers. And now they're saying, you know, we've emailed you this many times, and this is going to, you know, if you don't want this to end up in federal court, and I'm like, federal court? What are you talking about?
Oh, so they're going after the little guy, these big corporations, these big entities. That's terrible. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. Do a cease and desist, so at least it gives you a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Just take
when you don't know what's going on.
Oh,
I mean, are we experts on this? Oh, God.
Do you think, Juliet, that this could be, I mean, you hear Marlena's kind of sense of humor and the way she responds rather acerbically to open letters. Do you think this is the AP trying to knock her down a couple of pegs because she's got so much bravado with the way that she carries herself?
I think they're just trying to nickel and dime and make it. I think they've got all of these entities have all these different lawyers working for them, you know, low-level lawyers or low-level paralegals that just look for this kind of stuff.
Well, that's the thing. And, there's like an in-between company that started this. Like, I guess they do a search. I don't know how. They must have some sort of like database thing. And then they contact you. For a while.
So how did they get in touch with you?
Via email.
Okay.
Because, okay, so my website, which really is a personal website, is almost like an online resume. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not consumer-based, anything. I had like a marlena@marlenashivo.com like email. Then I changed it to my Gmail.
Oh,
so they must have been sending stuff to, because I never checked Marlena.
Right.
That actually got shut. I just stopped using it altogether.
Yeah.
And so I just changed it to my Gmail. And so as soon as I changed it to my Gmail, it's like they knew how to get in touch with me. But I used to check MarlenaShiva.com email, and I never saw anything from them from 2013 till, you know.
Oh, God, that's scary, actually.
It is. And like, and one.
That's a good lesson to all of us, by the way.
Because
all of us, I'm constantly, you know, copy pasting. And so I know a million other people are doing that, too.
Right. But it's like I did not profit in any way from this very short blog that's buried on the fourth page of my personal website.
Wow, that's crazy.
And the weird thing that is Donald Trump made it me even more so. Because what about the picture of Bill Maher, even though I don't want to bring attention to that? Like, I don't remember where I got that.
Right, exactly. Ooh.
Well, I hope things turn out okay for you.
I mean, maybe we should take a collection. We should do a GoFundMe. If you, I mean, if you end up getting sued for like more than $975 or even just that, we'll all pitch in. I'm giving you $5 right now.
No, I would give, I would kick in, you know, $20 or something, but
I'd actually give you $100 just for the principal, right?
Yeah. Well,
match me.
I feel like I'll match you, but
Matt, I'm up to $200.
I raised $250
as soon as we have matching salaries. But
maybe Kim Kardashian can kick something, and she's got $1 billion.
She does. She does. All from sex tape.
I feel like if we're going to raise $975 for Malena, that's not the best use of that $975. I feel
should we sue? Should we counter sue?
Well,
for
I told her to talk to Arthur and have Arthur send an angry
letter. You tell everybody to talk to him. Arthur is like going to be overwhelmed with phone calls of your friend.
It's true. That's the bulk of his practice now. So, Juliet, tomorrow's your big day in terms of second vaccination.
No.
Most people have. Not most people, but the people that I've heard get reactions to the vaccine, they tend to get it to the second dose rather than the first. You had a bit of a reaction to the first dose. Are you nervous about tomorrow?
No, because even my reaction to the first dose, I mean, it was enough that I didn't want to go to work. I was, you know, I had fever and one time and I was throwing up another time.
Whoa.
But over the course of a week and a half. But I mean, I would take that because I want this vaccine. I do believe that this is going to be helpful. So, yeah. And I heard your conversation about, you know, having to, even after you've had the vaccine, still having to walk around with a mask. I get it. It is sort of nonsensical. And at times I do feel that they are moving the goalposts and sort of kicking the can down the road. But by the same token, I had interviewed the head of the a doctor who was a high-level doctor, and she said something to me, because I was echoing your sentiments, and she said something to me that was pretty compelling. I'm just paraphrasing. She said, look, you got to remember, this is a pandemic the likes of which we've never seen. We've seen pandemics before, but this is very unique, and what we need to do is kick the can down the road, because we are getting so much more information and starting to see things are working, things don't work. You know, this is really a trend. This is not a trend. And so time is really the key here. And it made sense to me. You know, that made sense to me. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we've heard so many different things about if you get the vaccine, then you can still get virus and transfer it to somebody, but then they're saying, well, you probably won't, you know, but it's like, we don't know yet.
Right. Nobody knows. That's
my
least
big
of all
concern.
The experts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do 15 seconds of fame in just a minute. Marlena, thank you. This has been fun.
You guys are very entertaining together.
Thank you. I think so. Yeah.
I wish better Marlena watch my back.
Oh, please. No. God forbid. I more like the other way around. be the Marlena and Juliet show before we know.
Marliet.
Which would be actually a show that I would listen to, certainly. You could check out Marlena Shivo on MarlenaShivo.com until they come and shut her down and all forms of social media.